Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Ishut Perek Chaf Bet. We spent several prakim on the obligations of the husband toward his wife, and one perek, the last one, on the obligations of the wife toward her husband. But we've only seen very general principles about the rights a husband enjoys in his wife's property. This long perek and the one following it get into much more detail about these rights. Our perek begins with a discussion of inheritance, Yerusha Tabal, and from there moves on to the husband's rights in his wife's Nedunya, both the Nichsei Tzon Barzel, which are considered his for the duration of the marriage, and the Nichsei Malog, which remain in her possession while he has rights to their produce, Perot. Halacha Aleph, Habal kodem lechol adam birushat ishto, umeimata yizke birushata, mi sheteitse mirshut aviha, va'af al pisha adayin lo nichnesa lechupa, ho'il v'nasat birshut bala yirashena. Ketzad, ha'isha shnit arsa, umesara aviha levala, o lishluchei bala, umesaru ashluchei ha'av levala, o lishluchei bala, umeita baderech kodem shitikanes lechupa, Afal pi shektubata adayin bevet aviha, bala yorsha. V'chein im halach ha'av, o shluchei ha'av im abal. V'nichnas ima bala baderech lechatzer. V'nitachid ima sham l'shem nisuin umeta. Harei zo yirashena bala. We learnt in Perek Yud Bet that Yerushat HaBaal is one of the rights that a husband obtains as a result of nisuin. Our halacha clarifies that this right may in fact take effect before the nisuin itself. It begins at the moment that the woman moves from the reshut of her father to that of her husband. For example, if she left her father's home with her husband or with his messengers, and without her father or any of his messengers, and died en route before chuppah and nisuin, then her husband inherits her dowry, her nedunya, referred to in the halacha as her ketubah, because the details of the dowry were typically written into the ketubah. This is true even though the Nedunya is still in her father's home, because the Nisuin have not yet taken place. The Ramah accepts the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, that if the Nedunya is still in her father's home, then the husband does not inherit it. The Ramah also records Takanot, that were established in the areas of Ashkenaz, Germany and France, which limited Yerushat HaBaal in certain respects. If one of the spouses died during the first year of marriage, and the couple did not have viable offspring, then the Nedunya would automatically return to the wife's father. Some also had the practice that if the wife died during the second year of marriage, under any circumstances, then half of the Nedunya would return to her father. Halacha Gimel clarifies that Yerushat HaBaal applies this early only when the wife has a father and is young enough to be considered to leave his home when she sets out to begin living with her husband. If she is an orphan, or a bogeret, or widowed from an earlier marriage, and she dies before reaching her husband's home, then the husband does not inherit her. Halacha Dalet. Hanosei shashi asuralo, ho'il v'yesh lo ba'kidushin, imeita tachtav yirashena. V'chein hanoseya taktana, aval pi she'en kidusheha gemurin, imeita tachtav yirashena. Aval, hapikeach shenasa chereshet, imeita lo yirashena. V'achereish shenasa pikachat umeita, yirashena. Sharehi ba'da'at ul'da'ata niseit, v'zikta lo mamuna. If a man marries a woman who is forbidden to him by an iser lav, an iser asei, or a shnia le'erva, in all of which the kiddushin are tofsim, unlike if the isser is an erva d'oraita, then he inherits her, despite the isser for them to be married. A husband also inherits his wife if she is an orphaned ketana whose marriage is kiddushei miun, because Yerushat HaBaal is included in the rabbinic institution of kiddushei miun. However, if a pikeach marries a chireshet, then he does not inherit her when she dies. We learned in Perek Yud Aleph that there is no ketubah in the marriage of a chireshet in order to provide an incentive for a man to marry her. And Yerushat HaBaal is part of the Tanai ketubah. However, if a cheresh marries a pikachat, then he does inherit her, even though this marriage too usually lacks a ketubah. We saw in Perek Yud Aleph that a pikachat only receives a ketubah from her cheresh husband if Beit Din arranges the marriage and provides her with a ketubah in the process. Nonetheless, the pikachat wife is a bat dat, and she agreed in marrying the cheresh to grant him this right to her property. The Ravid has a Hasaga on this din, which echoes a Hasaga of his back from Perek Yud Bet. He writes that Yerushat HaBaal can only take effect as a Tanai Ketubah, and so in the absence of a Ketubah, even in the case of a Cheresh marrying a Pikachat, there is no Yerushat HaBaal at all. Even though it is true, as the Rambam writes, that the Pikachat wife agrees to give her Cheresh husband rights to her property, for him to use it and profit from it during their marriage, this has no bearing on inheritance, because inheritance only takes place after her death, at which point she is not capable of giving over anything. The Rambam and Ravid seem clearly to be arguing here about the nature of inheritance. Is the right to inherit someone considered a status which exists in the here and now, while the estate owner is still alive? Or does this right relate solely to the future, after the estate owner dies, without any tangible status in the present? The Rambam takes the first approach, and therefore the Pikachat can give her Cheresh husband during her lifetime a right to inherit her, while the Ravid believes the second understanding is correct. The listener is referred to our recording of Perek Yud Bet, specifically Halacha Tet of that Perek, where the Rambam and Ravid debate why a husband cannot relinquish his right of Yerushat HaBaal after Nisui, and the Ravid refers to Yerusha as a Dabra Shelo Bala Olam. Their debate there, as we explained at the time, focuses on the same point as their argument here in Perek Chaf Bet, and each side is consistent in both places. The next two Halachot mention other cases relating to Yerushat HaBaal. If a father marries off his daughter with kiddushin, and then the nisuin is done without his consent, the father may protest and hold up the entire nisuin. Therefore, if he does so, or even if he remains silent, the husband does not inherit his wife if she dies before adulthood. If a married woman becomes sick and demands that her husband divorce her, even without a ketubah, so that he will not inherit her when she dies, the Gaonim rule that we do not listen to her, even if she claims to hate her husband. We fear that she may just be trying to keep her property out of his hands. Halacha Zayin. Kol nechasim sheyesh la'isha, bein nechsei tzon barzel bein nechsei melog, habal ochel kol perotein b'chayeha, v'meta b'chayi ba'la, yirash ba'la hakol. Lefichach, im machra ha'isha nechsei melog, achar shniseit, af api sheotan ha'nechasim naflula kodem shetitares, habal motzi ha'perot miyad ha'lekochot, kol imei chayeha, aval lo guf ha'karka, she'ein lo klum beguf nechsei melog ad shetamut. Meita b'chayav, motzi ha'guf miyad ha'lekochot, b'lo damim. V'im ha'damim shelo akcha min ha'lekochot kayamin ba'atzman, machziran ha'lekochot, ve'ino yachol lomar shema metziahin. We now move to the details of how the husband may use his wife's nedunya. As we saw in Perek Yud Bet, he has a right to peirot, meaning he gets to consume or keep the produce of all of her property, both the nechsei melog and the nechsei tzon barzel, for the entire duration of their marriage. And as we discussed, he inherits both types of property if she dies while married to him. Since the nechsei melog belong to the wife even during the marriage, she has the power to sell them. But if she does so, the husband may take the peirot from the buyers, because his right to the peirot of that property represents a kinyan in the property, called a kinyan peirot. And so when the wife sold it, she did not sell the right to the peirot. That belongs to the husband. And if sometime after selling these nechsei melog, the wife dies, then the husband, who inherits her, may take the property itself from the buyers, because his right to it precedes theirs. He does not need to pay them back, unless the money they paid for the land is still to be found among the deceased wife's possessions and has not been spent. The Magen Mishnah quotes the opinion of Rabbeinu Ephraim that if the husband approves of his wife's sale of the nechsei melog, then he may not renege after her death and demand the property back from the buyers. In fact, in any case where the husband wishes to take the property, the buyers may demand that he swear that the sale was not carried out with his approval. The Shulchan Aruch accepts this opinion. Halacha Chet adds that this power of the husband to take the nechsei melog from the buyers after the wife's death is limited to property which she owned at the time of the nisuin, and which she knew about at the time. If she sold property before nisuin, or if she sold during the marriage property which only came into her possession after the nisuin, then the husband has no right to seize this property from the buyers after her death. Halacha Tet. Ha'isha shekatva kol nechaseh la'acher, bein rachok bein karov, kodem shetinasei, af al pish im nitkarsha u nitalmana, tivtala matana, kmo shitbaer bilchot matana, ein habal ochel peyrotan, vimeita eino yorshan, שהרי נתנה אותן קודם שתנסה, וכי שתמות בחיי בעלה, יקנה מקבל מתנה מתנתו קניין גמור. It can happen that a woman wishes to keep her property out of her husband's hands, and in order to do so, she gives it away to a third party before nisuin. We'll learn in Hilchot Zechei Matana that this isn't a genuine gift, in the sense that if she is divorced or widowed, and so the husband is never in a situation to inherit the property, then the gift is automatically void, and the property becomes hers again. Nonetheless, the gift is effective for its purpose. The husband has no right to the payroll to this property while married to her, and he does not inherit the property if she dies. Rather, if she dies while married, the gift to the third party is completed, and that person becomes the full owner of this property. The next few halachot discuss the interesting case of a shomeret yavam, a widow whose husband died with no children, and she awaits either yibum or chalitza from his brother, the yavam. What is the status of her nedunya from her first marriage? What may she do with this property while she is a shomeret yavam, and who inherits it if she dies? Halacha yud, shomeret yavam, yesh la limkor v'litein bin chasim shnaflu la kishi shomeret yavam, ve'ein le'yavam peirot, v'afilu b'nechsei tzon barzel shichnisa l'achiv, ad shichnos. Meita kishi shomeret yavam, yorshea me'avia yorshin nechsei melog shela, v'chatsi nechsei tzon barzel, v'yorshea ha'bal yorshin k'tubata, v'chatsi nechsei tzon barzel, v'yorshea ha'bal chayavin b'kvurata. The Yavam has no right to any peirot of the property of the Shomeret Yavam until he performs Yibum. If any additional property comes into her possession while she is a Shomeret Yavam, she has full possession of it and may even sell it. What happens to the Nedunya from her first marriage if she dies? The Nichsei Malog, which were always her property, go to her Yorshim. These could be her children from a previous marriage, or her father or her brothers. The Nichsei Tzon Barzel are split evenly between her Yorshim and the Yavam, or his Yorshim if he too passed away. Why are they split? Because the status of a Shomeret Yavam is complex. On the one hand, she is unmarried. But on the other hand, she has a connection to the Yavam, known in Halacha as a Zika, a linkage, which forbids her from marrying anyone else unless she does Chalitza. If we view her as unmarried, then her Nichsei Tzon Barzel clearly belong to her. But if we take seriously her zika to the Yavam, then this property belongs to him, as Nichsei Tzon Barzel always belonged to the husband during a marriage. Since we cannot clearly resolve her status one way or the other, this property is split between her own Yorshim and the Yavam or his Yorshim in the event of her death. The Ravid, in his Asaga here, argues on two points. According to him, the Yavam splits peirot with her while she is a Shomeret Yavam, and in the event of her death, he inherits the Nichsei Tzon Barzel completely, not splitting it with her Yorshim. The Rambam also writes that the Yavam or his Yorshim inherit her ketubah upon her death and are responsible for burying her. The Rama writes that in principle we accept the opinion of the Ravid that the Yavam has a right to peirot and inherits all of the Nichsei Tzon Barzel. But in practice, because Ashkenazi custom is to do chalitza exclusively and never yibum, the Yavam has no right to peirot or to Nichsei Tzon Barzel. Halacha Yud Aleph, Shomeret Yavam, Ktubata al kol Nichsei Bala. Lefichach ein hayavam yachol limkor b'nichsei achiv, bein kodem yibum bein achar yibum. V'machar o natan matana o chalak imachav b'nechse ha-meit, bein kodem yibum bein achar yibum, lo asa klum, shekvar nitchayvu nechassim elu la'almana ligbot mehen ktubata. Kanas et yivimto v'iniach achiv peirot mechuberin la'karka, imachru v'ilakach ben karka, v'ayavam ochel peirotem. Some background. When a yavam does yibum, two things happen, or rather, one happens and one doesn't. First, the Yavam inherits the estate of his late brother, the Yavama's first husband. Second, he does not write a ketubah for the Yavama. Rather, the entire estate of his late brother, which he inherited, is meshubah to her ketubah even in her second marriage to the Yavam. This is an indication that her marriage to the Yavam is in some sense a continuation of her first marriage. Therefore, the Yavam may not sell any of his late brother's property even though he inherited it. He may only consume the payroll to that property, because it is all mortgaged to the payment of the Yavama's ketubah. But Halacha Yud Gimel clarifies that this is true of only of the deceased brother's karka, which is mortgaged to the ketubah on a Torah level. As we know from Perek Tet Zayin, a ketubah may be collected from a taltelin only based on a takana of the Gaonim. And this takana does not have the power to prevent the Yavam from using in any way he wishes, even selling the metaltelin of his brother, which he legitimately inherited. If the estate includes produce still attached to the ground, this is considered karka, so the yavam can't sell it. But if it isn't sold, this perishable produce will eventually rot. So what can be done? The solution is one which will come up several times in this parak and the next one, whenever we need to turn an object which doesn't produce perot into one which does. The perishable produce is sold, and the proceeds are used to buy land. The Yavam may not sell that land, but he may eat any of its produce, just as he may consume any perot of his late brother's property. Halacha Yudalid ends the discussion of the Shomeret Yavam with the point that if the Yavama does not have a ketubah from the deceased brother, either because she sold it or forgave it, then the Yavam may do whatever he wishes with the estate of his late brother, and he must write his Yavama a new ketubah of 100 zuz as he would for any almana. Halacha Tetvav. Haisha shemachra o natna achar shniseit b'nichsei tzon barzel, bein levala bein lachirim, lo asat klum. V'chein habal shemachar karka b'nichsei ishto, bein nichsei tzon barzel bein nichsei melog, lo asat klum. Machar metaltelin shal nichsei tzon barzel, af al pi sheino rashai, imachar mimkaro kayam. A married woman has no control during her marriage over the nichsei tzon barzel she brings to the marriage in her nedunya. And so if she tries to sell any of it or give any of it away, this is meaningless. The husband, too, may not sell the nichsei tzon barzel. However, if they include any metaltlin and he sells those, then even though he had no right to do so, the sale is valid. The Ramah disagrees and believes that even the sale of metaltlin is invalid. The Ravid in his Asaga here disputes the Rambam's suggestion that the husband has no ability to sell the Nechsei Tzon Barzel. This property is in the possession of the husband during the marriage, and his only obligation is to pay his wife, together with her ketubah, in the event of divorce or his death, the value of this property at the time of their marriage. This he can do even if the Nechsei Tzon Barzel themselves are sold. If he can't make this payment when the time comes, then the Ravid agrees that Beit Din can seize the Nechsei Tzon Barzel from the buyers in order to pay this debt. Until then, however, the husband's sale is completely valid. Continuing from the middle of Halacha Tet Zayin, Machru Shnehem b'nichsei melog, bein shelakach min ha'ish tchila, v'chazar lakach min ha'isha, bein shelakach min ha'isha, v'chazar lakach min ha'ish, michran kayam. V'chein ha'isha, shemachra o natna nichsei melog levala, michra umatnata kayamin. V'ina yichula lomar b'nichsei melog, nachad ruach asiti levali, aval b'sha'ar nechassim, yesh la lomar. The Nichsei Melog are owned jointly by the husband and wife. She owns the property itself, Kinyan Haguf, and he, as we explained earlier, owns rights to the produce, Kinyan Perot. So in order to sell the Nichsei Melog, each spouse must sell to the buyer the Kinyan in the property which he or she possesses. The wife can also sell or give her Kinyan Haguf in the Nichsei Melog to her husband, thereby granting him full ownership of them. But this only works with Nichsei Melog. If she sells or gives her husband the Nichsei Tzon Barzel, or if he had designated a field for payment of her ketubah and she sells it back to him, then even if she did this with a full-fledged kinyan, the sale is not binding, and she can always renege on the sale or gift. The reason, Halacha Yud Chet explains, is that she can claim Nachat Ruach Asiti Levali. The transaction was not serious, and I did it only to maintain peace with my husband. But Nichsei Melog are different, because the husband has no claim to this property itself, only to the peyrot which grow from it. Therefore, if the wife sold or gave him her Nichsei Melog, this transaction must have been serious. In Halacha Yutet, the Rambam suggests, with the phrase Yera Eli, conceding that he has no clear source for this ruling in Chazal, that if Nichsei Tzon Barzel are stolen or lost, and therefore the husband must pay for them because he assumes responsibility for the Nichsei Tzon Barzel at their original value, and the wife forgives this debt to the husband with a kinyan, then this is binding. She cannot claim Nachan Ruach Asiti Levali to cancel this act, because the husband receives nothing tangible from it. He is only freed from a debt. This is equivalent, claims the Rambam, to retroactively converting the status of the property to Nechse Malog, on which the husband has no responsibility for theft or loss, which the wife may do with a kinyan. Halacha Chaf. Baal Shemachar Karka Leperot, Lo Asa Klum, Shelo Itkinu Perot Leish Ela Kedei Laharviach Votzaat Abayit. Lefichach Imachar Leperot Velakach Otana Ma'ot Lasot Ben Tzchora, Shomin Lo. The Kinyan Perot which a husband has in his wife's Nechse Malog is not something he can sell and pocket the proceeds, because the point of his Kinyan Perot is to provide a constant source of income for the household. He may sell this Kinyan only in exchange for money which will be invested in some business opportunity, which also represents a constant source of income. The next several halachot discuss what to do with different forms of property which the wife receives during her marriage. How can the husband use these items if they are nechsei tzon barzel, and how if they are nechsei malog? The simplest case in halacha chaf aleph is money. Hayu li shak safim im nechsei tzon barzel hein, harei ze nosei venotein behen, vim nechsei malog hein, bein shichnisa otam lo, bein shnaflula biyrusha, o nitnula b'matana, o naflula metaltlin, o nitnula, harei ilu yimachru v'yilakach b'kol karka v'uruchel pirotan. If the money is nechsei tzon barzel, then the husband may use them in business as he would with any loan. But if the money is nechsei malog, so that he only has a kinyan perot in it, then we do as we saw in halacha yud bet. The money is used to buy land, which remains in the wife's possession, and the husband receives all perot which grow from this land. Skip ahead now to halacha chaf he. Avdei nechsei malog, uvemat nechsei malog, habal chayab imzonotem uvechol tzorchehem, veino sinlo vuhu ochel perotem. Lefichach, vlad shivchat malog, uvlad behemat malog, labal. Vim geresh, v'ratzat ha'isha litein damim, v'litol vlad ha'shivcha mipnei shvach ve'taviyah, shomin la. The husband doesn't own the nechsei malog, nor does he assume responsibility for loss of value like he does for nechsei tzon barzel, but he does need to ensure that this property isn't entirely ruined, with exceptions we'll see later in halacha lamed dalet. For animals and slaves of nechsei malog, this means that he has to feed them and attend to their other needs. As for all nechsei malog, he gets to keep their peirot, which for an animal or a slave includes their offspring. There is a concept of shvach beit aviyah, which describes certain property that the wife wishes to retain because they are associated with her family, and it would be a dishonor for them to be sold to someone else. Maidservants and their offspring are included in this, and halacha respects the consideration of shvach beit aviyah. So, if the wife wishes to buy back from her husband the offspring of a shivcha from her nechsei malog, she must be allowed to do so. Halacha chaf vav. Hichnisa lo shnei kelim o shtei shvachot b'torat nechsei tzon barzel, v'shamu otan alav be'elef zuz, v'okiru v'abdu b'alpayim, v'gersha, notelt echad be'elef shela, v'asheni imratzat shetitein dama v'titol mishum shvach beit aviya, shomin la. If her nedunya includes two kelim, or maidservants, of nechsei tzon barzel, for example, two expensive antique vases, which at the start of the marriage were worth 1,000 zuz each, and at the end of the marriage are worth 2,000 zuz each, then fundamentally the husband should get to keep one and return one, because he is only responsible to return nechsei tzon barzel at their original value, and these have doubled in value. But here again, if she wishes, based on considerations of shvach beit aviyah, to buy the other one back from him, she must be allowed to do so. Halacha chav zayin. Hanotein matana liishto, bein shnatan la karka, bein shnatan la ma'ot, v'lakcha behen karka, ein la ba'al peirot matana zo, v'chein hanotein matana liisha, al menat shelo yeh ha'bal ochel peirotea, ela yu peirotea liisha, lema shetirtze, ein habal ochel perot matana zo. Vachin hamocher ktubata betovat hanaya, otana damim leisha, vein habal ochel perotehen. There can be situations in which a husband has no rights to his wife's property, even kinyan perot. This happens if he gives her a gift, which we assume that he does with no strings attached, or if someone else gives her a gift with the stipulation that her husband not be permitted to eat its perot. If a woman sells her ketubah, as we saw back in Perek Yud Zayin that she may do, then the proceeds of that sale also belong entirely to her, and the husband does not even have a kinyan peirot in them. Halacha Chafchet gives two more examples. If an animal of nechsei malog is stolen and the thief is found, the kefel he pays is not considered peirot of the animal, which would go to the husband. Rather, it belongs entirely to the woman. If a husband injures his wife, then he pays her the relevant tashlumei chovel of nezek, tsar, and boshet, as we'll learn in Hilchot Chovel Umazik. However, Halacha Chaf Bet earlier in the parak says that if someone else injures her, then the payments are considered nechsei melog, and so they are used to purchase land whose payrot go to the husband. Halacha Lamed. Haresh nimtzu ma'ot o metatlin b'yad ha'isha. He omeret b'matana nitnuli. V'hu omer b'masei adayichem shehen shali. Harei zo nemenet. V'yesh lo lahachrim al misha to'enet davar sheino ken. V'ilakach behen karka. V'hu ochel perot. V'imamra al menat ken nitnuli. Al menat shelo yele ba'li reshut behen. Ela eseh behen ma she'erze. Alea lavi raya. Shekol mamon hanimtza b'yad ha'isha, b'chezkat ha'bal hu shiyochal pirotav ad shetavi raya. This halacha discusses a case in which the status of some money or metaltlin in the wife's possession is disputed. The rule stated at the end of the halacha is that the default status of any property of hers is that the husband is allowed to eat the payrot of it, unless one side proves otherwise. So if he claims that the money is entirely his because it's proceeds of her ma'aseh adayim, he must prove this. Conversely, if she claims that the money was given to her as a gift with a stipulation that her husband has no right even to its payrot, and so it's entirely hers, then she must prove this. If no one proves otherwise, then a gift she receives is considered nechsei melog. And as we've seen several times, it's sold, its proceeds are used to purchase land which remains in the possession of the wife, and her husband eats the payrot. Halacha Lamed Bet. One may not receive a pikadon, a deposit from a married woman, an eved, or a child. In each of these cases, we are concerned that the object or money being deposited does not actually belong to the person depositing it. If one nonetheless took a pikadon from a woman, he must return it to her, and if she has died, he returns it to her husband. Similarly, if he took a pikadon from an eved, it should be returned to him, and if he is dead, then it should be returned to his master. But a pikadon received from a katan should not be returned to him at all, because we do not trust that he is capable of guarding it from damage. Rather, the proceeds are used to purchase a sefer Torah or something which produces peyrot, and the child can consume the peyrot while the principal remains intact until he reaches adulthood. Halacha Lama Gimel. Isha shayulak safim haruyot labal lechol peyrotan. Hu omer kach v'kach yilakach ben, v'hi omeret eini lo kachat ben ela kach v'kach. Lochin davar sheperotav merubin v'tziyato me'uta. Bein shaya davar kirtzono, bein shaya kirtzona. V'ein lochin ela davar shegizo machlif, shema yochal akol v'nimitza hakeren aved. If the wife has money of nechsei melog, which must be used to purchase something which produces peyrot, who decides how exactly to use this money if husband and wife wish to buy different things? The answer is that we accept whichever suggestion is more profitable, whether it comes from the husband or the wife. We are especially careful to purchase only something in which the principal does not get used up, like a tree, so that the peyrot are reliably produced year after year. Halacha Lamed Daled. Haisha shichnisa levala eiz lechalava v'rachel legizata v'deka leperotav af al pi she'ein la ela perot elu bilvad harei ze ochel v'holech ad shetichle akeren v'chein im yichnisa lo kli tashmish b'torat nechsei melog harei ze mishtamesh behen v'lovesh umatzi al mechase ad shichle akeren u'kishe yigareish eino chayav l'shalem hablayot shel nechsei melog. If some item of nechsei melog belonging to the wife is one in which she herself only has a kinyan peyrot, like if she owns a goat but only for its milk, a sheep only for its wool, or a tree only for its fruit, then the husband still gets to consume these peyrot as he would with any other nechsei melog. If she brings to the marriage nechsei melog in the form of clothing or non-durable utensils which are meant to be used, then the very use of these items is the equivalent of peyrot. Therefore, the husband can use these as much as he wishes, even if this causes the clothing or utensils themselves to break or become worn out over the course of time, and he does not have to compensate for the loss of value when the marriage ends. Halacha Lamed Hei. Horu hageonim, shenichsei tzon barzel, af al pi shepchitatan al abal, im hayu ablayot kayamin, vayu osin kamin melachtan, notel keilea kama shehen. Vim lo hayu osin me'en melachtan, harehem kami shenignavu o avdu, shu chayav l'shalem kidmehen, sheshamu otan alav bishat hanisuin. Uminhag pashut hu zeh, v'chol hanosei, al minhag zeh kibel alav achrayut hanedunya. Uchishem she'eno meshalem apchat, kach ino notel ha'shevach, im hu otiru dmehen, l'fi minhag. With Nichsei Tzon Barzel, we should really do the following. Have them evaluated when the marriage begins, and have them evaluated again when the marriage ends. The husband only owes his wife the first amount. So if they decreased in value by the end of the marriage, then he owes her the difference. And if they increased in value, then he gets to return only part of the Nichsei Tzon Barzel and keep a portion of them equal to the difference, like in the case of the two vases we learned back in Halacha Chav Vav. But if the Nichsei Tzon Barzel are clothes or utensils, then the Gaonim established a custom that we are not so exacting. We've already seen that the Gaonim adapted a system of rules which assumed a land-based economy to a new reality in which most possessions were metaltlin rather than land. As long as an item of Nichsei Tzon Barzel continues to be usable in the usual manner in which it is used, it may be returned to the wife as is without any further evaluation. Meaning, even if it decreased in value, the wife doesn't get anything more. And even if it increased in value, the husband doesn't get to keep any of it. Conversely, if the item is not usable in this manner, then the husband must pay the full amount that it was worth at the start of the marriage, as if it were stolen or lost. The standard practice is in accordance with this custom of the Gaonim.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.